Y'all give it up for Emily. Good job, good job. Man, it's good to have all of you here. Let's say hello to our brand new people in the house. There's about 20 of you here today, I think. I counted close to that. Anyway, we're glad you're here. Honestly, we mean that. Everybody says it. We truly mean it. We just hope that what you find here is not us, really. We hope you find Holy Spirit, Jesus. We hope you find the Father and just get in a closer relationship with Him. Hope. Hope. What do you hope for? What do you hope for? I mean, like, everybody yesterday was just hoping their team would win, right? Just hoping. Come on now. We're not going to get up in some Roll Tide. I mean, you know, anything like that, a War Eagle, none of that stuff. Y'all all get to go to heaven. Just take some of y'all longer. But anyway, I didn't point out which side. I'm just saying, all right? Yeah, you just get in those things and you're hoping. I just wonder how I only get to, like, when I'm over here, I don't get to see most of you guys on that side. I just over here. I'm telling you, man, people were shouting today and praising God. I don't ever want Saturday become more shouting out loud than we shout out on Sunday, right? Come on. No, ain't no pigskin or coach or team ever died for me. None of them. None of them have. And we send sometimes. Somebody said one time, Saturday looks more like church sometimes than Sunday does. Let's take that back, y'all. I love how our church is trying. We're doing everything we can to shout as loud as we can to our Lord. And, hey, if you don't shout, that's okay. You can go to heaven, too. And I just love the idea of being able to allow us to express to our Father what He means to us. All hail, King Jesus. All hail, King Jesus. And when you're singing that song, Lord, just inhabit our praises and all of those things. There's just this, I don't know, it just takes me to a place. Music has always done that for me. And it's something God, I think, created in order that we could connect with Him even more deeply than we can just in words. Is being able to sing and to hear, even just to hear music. It's just so connective to Him. And, hey, we don't need to let the devil have any more than he already has. So let's just take it all back for Jesus, right? Let's just give it all to Him. Y'all sound real excited about that. But anyway, we're going to start a series today. We're just going to walk through the Advent this year. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what that word means in just a moment. But the focus is really not about just Advent. I know sometimes we do, people do whatever. I don't know what all these things are called. Lent and, you know, have all these holy days and things that, you know, Easter is one of them. Emily mentioned earlier. Christmas is one. And it's time, really, people set aside in their hearts to be able to do something they would call religious. We might say spiritual or whatever. And so all we're going to do is walk through four messages basically leading up to Christmas, our celebration of Christmas this year on the 21st. And it's just hope, peace, joy, and love. And today we're going to talk about hope. Can you imagine what it have been like? It's hard for us to imagine what it would have been like to be Jewish when Jesus came. And he messed some people up, really. There's this, if you read the Old Testament kind of has these two different views of the Messiah who was coming. And the predominant view in the Old Testament is the conquering king. He was coming to conquer. And everybody had in their brains, the Jewish mindset, a lot of them had in their minds that Messiah was going to come and deliver them from what in Jesus' day was Roman oppression. They're going to take down this Roman government, give it back to the Jewish nation, and establish the kingdom like it needed to be in its glory, or like it was maybe in its glory days with the kings. That really wasn't Jesus' focus as far as a physical on this earth kingdom. And they didn't get it. In fact, it was that claim ultimately got him killed. The other predominant view of Jesus and the Messiah who would come was that he would come as a suffering servant, that he would come humble. He talks about riding on the donkey's colt into Jerusalem instead of a stallion. These concepts that were in the Old Testament, but to be honest, when you read the Old Testament, those passages there's less of those kinds of passages than the ones that talk about him being the conquering king. And I think the whole idea of conquering was the mentality that took over in their time. And because of that, many people misunderstood who he was. Either way, the anticipation was the same. the looking forward to Messiah, no matter your view of what it was like, what he, and that's, it's really much the same in our world. Everybody you talk to, if you just mention the name Jesus in your conversation, the conversation changes, right? And it's not always for the better in your mind, in our culture, but whatever it is, you can't talk about Jesus without changing the conversation in some shape, form, or fashion. And you know that as soon as you bring his name up. And in their day and time, to talk about this might be the Messiah. I think most of you are probably aware that Jesus wasn't the only one to claim to be Messiah. There were several Messiahs that would come and say, I'm the one, I'm the one. And they would always die and never come back. And Jesus fixed all that when he died and came back. He said, that kind of claims that he is Messiah. All hail King Jesus. Amen. So the idea is how he came and what he was here to do, more than anything, was to bring hope, peace, joy, and love. And we're going to talk today about hope. Micah says this in the Old Testament, but you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, that's a hard word to say, Ephrathah, however you want to, big E, all right, are only a small village among the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past, that's an understatement of all understatements, will come from you on my behalf. So this Bethlehem-born baby that would come into the world was the one who was to come, not only to be the conquering king, but to be the suffering servant. Jesus, when he was asked how to pray, he told them, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this idea of the kingdom, again, misunderstood in many people today. They see it in many, many different ways. But the kingdom coming from this Messiah, this anticipation was super, super clear in all the prophecies. And Jesus was the one who fulfilled all of those, by the way. And the anticipation is why every year believers all over the world, hundreds of thousands of believers all over the world, some in public arenas like we have, and some in very private arenas in places where if they mention the name Jesus, they can be killed for it. You say, well, that doesn't exist in our world. Oh, let me tell you, it does. Thousands and thousands of people die every day simply for saying Lord Jesus and not Muhammad, Lord Jesus and not Buddha, Lord Jesus and not Hindu, Lord Jesus and nothing else, because there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And they believe that, and it literally, when Revelation says that be faithful unto death, it means be faithful even if it gets you killed, is what that phrase actually means. And some of them did. The idea of Advent, the word Advent itself just means arrival or coming into place or coming into being. And there's this expectancy. That's a hard word for me to, can I not talk today? This expectancy is the word I've been saying over and over again. It's the idea of anticipation. And when I first started thinking about doing this year for our Christmas series, the word anticipation brought up in my mind something that if you were around in 1978, you're not going to forget this thing that's coming up on screen. Y'all check it out.
Their ketchup's coming a lot slower than ours does.
That's not good manners. Oh, you noticed our Heinz. Here, taste it.
Anticipation.
Pouring it on a little thick.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of y'all remember that commercial? Come on, give me, where are my older people? I ain't gonna say old. Yeah, we know. That was actually my freshman year in high school, 1978, when that commercial came out. And so, but I'll never forget it. And things like that stick in your mind, right? This idea of anticipation and the Carly Simon song and all of that. But that ketchup, man, and who all? We all went and bought ketchup just to do that, right? Because the kid did it on TV, and it was that thick. And if it's still in glass bottles, it would still be. Now you get it in one of these plastic things that's like comes out like a fire hydrant. I don't have to anticipate it. It's everywhere, right? Oh, it drives me crazy. See, even that teaches me that our world is just trying to be too fast about everything. Hey, and did you notice the rich color of that ketchup? Y'all remember when ketchup used to look like Heinz 57 steak sauce? When it was really, really rich and really good? Anyway, well, enough for reminiscing. This idea, I couldn't resist that because that's the first thing literally, not even the baby Jesus in a manger. I just thought, anticipation. I just did. I just came, popped in my mind. But anticipation is something that, are you sitting on your seat waiting for Jesus? Do you ever go out sometimes in your backyard or on a hill or on the beach or in a mountain somewhere and just look up and go, could it be today? Could it be in this moment? You ever sitting next to a hospital bed of someone you love who's very, very sick and you think, Lord, if you could just come back now, all this will go away. And you feel that anticipation. Do you come to worship leaning into anticipation that you're going to find Jesus? If we're not doing that, we have to be very, very careful that the things that we do anticipate, is Christmas really about gifts and the guy in the big red suit? Absolutely not. Oh, that's fun, and I love to give, and God wants us to be generous, but anticipation is waiting upon what they were anticipating, this child that would be born, who was prophesied long, long time before that. And we begin this idea of hope. Hope in the Bible is not, well, I hope he comes. It's anticipating with confident expectation. That means that I don't come in here to worship expecting anything other than Holy Spirit to be here. We sing songs about inviting Holy Spirit into the room. We give you the room. That there's this almost like this permission that we have to give an omnipresent God to be somewhere. But I think he loves that. Just like you want your children to anticipate you coming home from work or wherever you've been and you've been gone for a while and you walk in and your kid goes, Daddy! Parents of teenagers are going, I don't know, remember when that stopped. Let me tell you this, when your parents get old and maybe some of them are gone, you backwards anticipate. Man, I wish I could. So hope is confident expectancy. I said this from a stage one time in a church that didn't like it at all, and I don't really know why, but I said, I expect God to save me one day. And if you say that with some arrogance in your heart, and that's one thing, but the expectation is not about what I've done, it's about what he has done. And so this idea of anticipation comes. Mary finds out she's pregnant. She's engaged to Joseph. And the angel actually comes and says, it's all good. You're pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph finds out. And he's like, well, okay, I guess I'm going to have to put her away. But I love her too much to just put her away out. That was not a very private thing normally. But he said, I'm going to put her away quietly. He's going to divorce her. Because in that day, when you were engaged, you were married. I mean, you had to write a divorce paper if you wanted to be able to get out of that. So the idea here was he was going to put her away, and yet he had a dream. Joseph, the son of David, this angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child in her was conceived by Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Sozo. There's that life. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look! The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? Everybody say it with me. God is with us. God is with us. So hope, first of all, means this idea of expectancy of salvation, this expectancy of life, this expectancy of eternal life. Something which they really didn't understand. Eternity was not a concept in the first century that, like we think of eternity being on and on and on and on and on. They just knew it was a long time. And they wanted to be with God. And this expectancy of having Jesus come was something they leaned into from that passage. And she will have a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, when we say Jesus, they would have said Yeshua or something to that nature. It means God saves. God is salvation. The idea of a lost and dying world is completely done away with in the minds of those who believe in Jesus because he has eradicated sin, y'all. It doesn't exist anymore. He don't even remember it against us anymore. He takes those things. He nailed all of that. All that's put on his cross. Everything in the past is gone. Why? Because Jesus came to save. And there are moments in the life of Jesus where you get this glimpse of their anticipation being right there, that they knew something was different. You remember when Jesus was around 12 and he was in the temple and baffling the people that were there and they couldn't find him for 3 days and they came back and said, what in the world are you doing? And he found out, he said, I must be about my father's business. He wasn't talking about Joseph and building stuff. He did go home and subject himself to them. But he's talking about his father's business. He was in that house. Later, the disciples find themselves in a boat in a storm. Jesus calms the sea, and they say, you really are the Son of God. Sometimes they would say it like this, who is this man? Can you imagine? Who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him. I love the woman at the well. Could he be the Messiah? Could he be? Nathanael, the righteous one, he said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. Peter said, you are the Christ, the living God. Even the Roman soldier at the end of Jesus' life, the scripture says he looked up and he stared at him and said, truly, this man was the Son of God. You see, we get to see the fruit of everything they anticipated because it's all hindsight for us. Can I just suggest for a moment, can I preach for about 30 seconds? We take it way too for granted. We really do. We hear Jesus and his name in this story so many times that we just go, oh, okay, that's cool. Yay. We golf clap the Son of God. And we cannot do that. Okay, back to the message. John says this in 1 John. If you want to know really how these disciples felt a lot about Jesus, just read John's writings because he was expressive with it big time. He said, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. His coming, his serving, his dying, his raising from the dead all points to the love of a Father who gives us salvation. His name means salvation. His life showed salvation. He saved people all along the way, over and over and over again, not just from their spiritual problems, but even their physical problems. And there's a huge connectivity to those two in the Word. His death, burial, and resurrection solidified all of it. And it substantiated the fact that Jesus was the very presence of God in this world. So, because of that hope, because of that anticipation of salvation, it also means that there's this expectancy of the presence of God or God's presence in your notes. He said in the text, they will call him Emmanuel because it means God is with us. From the outset of the world, man sinned and separated himself from God. And from that moment on, God has been coming closer and closer and closer. He spoke to them directly. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through the law and the prophets. And then Jesus came and lived in the hood. He's here. He's in the world. God in the flesh has come here to live in the world. And then when he left the world, this physical earthly existence, he left us Holy Spirit so that we wouldn't have to be alone, so we wouldn't have to be orphans, that we'd have to go, okay, where's Jesus? Let's all get a lineup and go talk to Jesus. All you have to do is cry out, and Holy Spirit is right here. Come on, y'all. Is this not making any sense? You see where the hope comes from? The hope doesn't lie within anything that we do. But the Bible says the Word became human and he made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Grace and faithfulness. And then we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father and the one Father's one and only Son. We have seen him. Listen to John describe being with Jesus when he wrote 1 John. He said this, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes, touched him with our own hands. He is the Word of life. The one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen. He says it over and over. We saw him. We saw him. We touched him. We had him. We listened to him. We saw him face to face. We had conversations. He was on the beach, and he was in a boat. And I imagine when they're riding, it's like when you're riding. You ever text some good news so fast, you just mess it all up. You have to back up again. They're just riding because of the joy and the abject awesomeness of being in the very presence of Jesus. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. This expectancy that they realized in Jesus was so strong that it would eventually motivate every one of them to die for it. And most of them very gruesome kind of deaths, crucifixion and sawn in half and beheaded and hanged and beat to death, stoned to death, on and on and on. Martyr after martyr after martyr. People gave up their lives for the hope that they knew was in Christ. Have you ever wondered what it's going to be like when you take your last breath? What's the next step? What's that going to feel like? Listen to John. Oh, there you are, Lord. I can see you now. I'm with you now. There's this presence that we're with in him. He's there. And he's waiting. He's preparing a place for us. And we try to hang on to everything we can here. And he said, when you let it go here, you get to come and be with me. And it motivated these guys to even go to their death. You see, John continues by letting us know that we live as his representatives of bringing that hope to the world. Since we have this hope in us, we give that hope to other people. Can I tell you just a little secret in this is I think people sometimes don't talk to people about Jesus because they're afraid of what questions they might get that they can't answer. Or maybe they'll bring up some kind of eschatological, end times kind of thing going on. You know, whatever. I can't even say the word. I can't say any words today much. But the idea of this, we're so afraid sometimes of what we might have to talk about in religion that we don't talk about Jesus. You know what's most important when you tell people about Christ? Is you got the answer from somewhere else and you want to give them that answer. Lean into it. There is enough depression going around right now for all of us to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to leave here today and call so-and-so because they need me. You know, they need me because I have Jesus and I've got the hope that they're looking for and I just want to talk to them about it. When you see somebody online or in person or in line or wherever you are and you sense this idea that they don't have what you know you have, first of all, you have to have that, okay? You have to have him in your life and it has to change who you are inside out. And when you have him in your life and you're living that kind of life and someone else is not and they're lost, we call it lost. We think sometimes too much linear thought with that. Oh, they're lost. They need to be saved. Well, that's a true statement. But they're hurting. They need to feel better. They're sick. They need to be well. They're mentally deranged. They need to have a clear mind. And everybody that comes into contact with Jesus, when we read it in the Word, they may be cutting themselves and living in the tombs and naked and don't know where to go and what to do, and they're all deranged and everything's out of whack. And when Jesus comes into their life, they're sitting, clothed, and in their right mind. Let's stop calling the world names and let's start reaching to the world with the hope that they're looking for. They want to know it. And they're trying to find it in all this cotton candy around them. And all it's doing is destroying their lives. Every kind of thing. And, you know, we have the answer. We have the hope that is inside of us. And we proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. John writes this. I write these things so that you can have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ. What's John saying? We were given this. Can you imagine the honoring privilege that it was for those little Jewish boys out there fishing? Probably just in their teens, or maybe Peter was a little older than that. But they're just young men. And they're just doing the daily work. And a Jewish rabbi walks by and says, hey, come follow me. I'll show you how to fish for people. I don't think they understood all of what was happening, but a Jewish rabbi asked them to come follow, and they did. That's the series coming up in February. This idea or concept of dropping everything that you have and imbibing everything there is about Jesus in your life. Lately, I've been working on this exercise in my own life of taking thoughts captive. You guys know I had a scan last Monday about this whole stuff in me. If you don't know who that is, what stuff is he talking about? It's turkey right now, let me tell you. But anyway, turkey eating turkey. Some of y'all thought it, so I just said it. So, this, you know, you go through the scan. Well, the week before that, the devil tried to kick my butt all week long. And y'all know what I did just about every time. I didn't win it all the time. But, man, I'm telling you, I know this much. When you decide, and I decide, to out loud, nope, because the devil was whispering to me some crazy stuff. You realize you could find out something in you that you only got like 6 months to live? And what I need to remind him is that, dude, I may not even live 6 months. Something else may happen. That's not the point. And I would just say out loud, you know what? Nope, you don't have that. I'm going to take that thought captive. That has to obey Christ today. And Jesus says, I'm alive, and I'm well, and I'm saved, and I'm his son, and I'm moving forward with him. I have all the hope in the world. Yeah. I have all the hope in the world. I preached a sermon a few weeks ago called When the Enemy Wins. And let me just say real quick about that is the enemy never wins. Okay? He never wins. Oh, it may look like it sometimes. It may sense or feel like it in your own psyche sometimes that he is. But we have to stop. I have to stop. I'll just say I'm going to stop. You guys can stop if you want to. Stop posting how the devil's beating you up. Let's just stop. You say, but Keith, you don't understand. My loved one died, or I'm sick, or I don't know what's going on, or I had this wreck, or I lost my money, or I lost my job, or whatever. I may not understand your situation, but I know mine. And I know and I proclaim before you today that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. He is the hope of the world, and he's what I lean into in my life. And I hope you can come along with me and do that. I hope you guys are doing that at work and everywhere, in your home and in your family and all those things. Worship team, come on up and help me, would you? This idea, this is hope. The Bible says this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for your souls. Is it? Y'all know what a strong, trustworthy anchor is? It's what a weak, untrustworthy anchor is not. And so anything that's a strong, trustworthy one is what I want to be anchored to. That's where I want to be. And we have to start living our lives knowing that Jesus has us 24/7, 365. He says it leads to us, it leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Sometimes we teach that God is just this loving kind of grandfather, kind of hanging out, waiting on us to get to be with him one day so we can sit on his lap and bounce around. And don't let me mess you up too bad, because I'm going to tell you something. God is a loving father. He is a loving father. This hope I'm talking about is a very positive thing. The coming of baby Jesus was the beginning of the hope for the people in that world and all of us. Or maybe it wasn't even there. The beginning was before the foundation of the world, but the physical coming into the world. Okay, we'll give it that. But can I just say that it is a terrifying thing to stand before an almighty God who could not only kill my body, but my soul in hell. That's what the word says. What does that make me? Oh, no, don't go back to that. Please don't tell me about all this God who's mean. He's going to crush me. That's not what that's about. What God's wanting us to fear him about is centered in the hope that we have in the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. The fear, this healthy, holy fear, if you will, that's what John Bevere calls it, this holy fear that we have is saying to God, you know what? I don't want to lose my soul. I want to be with you. Yes, but it's also saying that I'm entrusting everything to you to the point that I am going to do everything that I can to do what you've called me to do over anything else that anything else is calling me out about right now. And can I just tell you, if you're a parent, your kids are dying for you to do that. Your kids want you to fear God more than you fear anything else in the world. Wives, your husband is just waiting on you to respect him and to love him in Christ as God. And husbands the same as Christ loved the church. What we're waiting on each other to do, and we have to stop worrying about what have you have done for me or whatever. My hope is not in Liz. Her hope better not be in me. My hope is not in you, and you better not have it in me. If you've come, if you're new here today looking for a church that you think, oh, well, this pastor's got it all together, just hang out for a little while. Come on, Freedom Group, y'all know, right? But you're looking at somebody who fears God more than I fear man. And here's what I've learned. This hope that I have in Jesus is so steadfast and sure. And that's the anchor that I need to put my life and my hope in. That anything that starts bumping up against that now really wigs me out. Anything. And that covers so much. Stuff you're looking at and listening to and doing. Where did this come from? This is not even here at all. It's just this idea of we can walk into God's inner sanctuary, but we better walk into his sanctuary confident in Jesus and who he is in our life. Because if you don't, Look at the history where people have had God appear to them in different ways. They fell as one dead. They kneeled, they dropped. Everything was prostrate on the ground, falling face down on the ground. This before this living God. And we cannot any longer take the hope that we have in Jesus and cover that over with this nice little love thing. And you come to Jesus and everything's going to be nice and loving and all that. Yes, you're going to be loved like you've never been loved. But you're going to stand before a God who loves you so much that he wants you to follow him and to fear him in that holy fear. I'm not talking about being afraid of him. I'm not afraid of God. He says right here, we can walk into the holy room. That holy of holies, that was a place where the high priest could only go once a year. And he'd go in there with bells around his waist. They put a rope on him. Why? Because if the bells quit dingling, that means God done been in there. He did it wrong, very wrong. And he's dead. They had to pull him out, send somebody else in there. Who wants to do that job? He said, I didn't read that in the Bible. We need to read the Bible. And when Jesus was crucified, man, that veil, and that veil wasn't some little shower curtain. It was thick, it was high, seamed all together. The Bible says it was ripped from top to bottom. By God. You know why? Now he's in your life. Now you're accessing him. Now you're walking into the throne room. Yes, he's a mighty God. He's one to fear, but he's also one to say, look, you're my son. You're good. Come on in. It's like Esther before the king. He's waiting to put the scepter out and say, you're my child. He's the lifter of my head, the psalmist says. He's the one that says, you're my son. You're my son. I want you to bask in that. And that all comes from the hope that we have in him. Nearly the nearly the last verse of the Bible, John writes in, did I put John on that screen? I may have put John, I don't know. But John 22:20. Yeah, that's right. No, this is supposed to be Revelation, I do believe. 22:20. It's close to the end of the Bible. The final coming of Jesus, the scripture says, he who is faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That's the anticipation. We're anticipating all over again. And there's really nothing in this world that the devil can jingle before me that looks anywhere near as good as an eternal life with my Father in heaven. And I hope you're the same. Prayer team, please come forward. Would you come? For all of our guests, as these folks begin to walk forward, there's a few of them in the back. This is our prayer team. And you guys who are alternates, you might want to look. We've got a few people out today, maybe. But just look and see what's going on. These people that are coming forward, they serve our church in a very special place, and that is the gift of prayer. And so they want to pray with you. They simply want to hear you, and they want to pray. This is not a counseling session. This is not something where we put it on a list after a while, and remember this guy had this problem. They don't even remember what happens. We just want you to come and pray. There may be something in your life today that you need. You need to get out of the lack of hope and get in hope in Christ, and maybe prayer is where that needs to happen. Before we dismiss to that, I want to read a few lines, and I want you to repeat after me. Will you all stand together with me? Focusing on the hope and the reflection that Advent, that anticipation, the arrival of Jesus coming, I would like for you to take these words. And in our busy life this week, please, if you have never done this before, please resist with all your might having to leave right now. And just bask in this. You're going to have time. We're getting out right on time today. We're going to be good. This is the time for you. If you want to bow, if you want to hold your hands out, if you will just stand there, that's fine. Your posture is up to you. But I just want to read a few statements that I feel like the Lord maybe put on my heart, and I want to be able to help us understand about this hope. And we're going to end our song, end our worship with a song. And while we're singing that song, you can come forward and pray with our prayer team. Maybe someone around you will come with you. If you say, hey, I want to go, don't be afraid. This is the time for you to come and pray. Get it out of your life and put Jesus in. So, would you please just repeat these phrases after me? Lord, Could you all say it at the same time? That would be nice. Don't ruin a moment. All right. Just kidding. Lord, thank you for Jesus, our confident hope. For you, O Lord, are our light and our salvation. Why should I be afraid? We stand in awe of you. We praise you for your arrival. We thank you, Jesus, Messiah. We welcome you into our hearts and lives. May you, the hope of the world, guide our every step. And today, we go forth from this place in hope.
Savior's love.
Father, we come to you today just basking in the glory that is in you, that you've placed in us. Father, thank you that you've just given us this privilege to be able to praise you. We honor you, we glorify your holy name. Thank you for the hope that is found in Jesus. Father, I pray today, as we leave this place, that you will give us the opportunity, the willingness, the ability. Holy Spirit, come and speak through us. Help us tell our story. Tell our story of what you've done in our lives. We praise you, Father. For those in the room right now who are struggling, Lord, in any way, shape, form, or fashion, I pray, Holy Spirit, you will come and grant hope and peace and joy and love. Father, you would permeate their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ah, what a great day. Man, come on, we give God one hand of praise. Hand of praise. We love him. We love you, Lord. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Woo! Yeah. So good, so good. Hey, do not forget to go by and get your children. That would bless our children's ministry a lot. We have several left over from last week, so if you need an extra. No, I'm kidding. Hey, today also don't forget to give as you go out. And don't forget that we have, if you're a guest and you completed a connection card, please put those in the little black box in the back. I'm going to go right out the side door. I'd love to meet you if I haven't got to yet. God bless you guys. Have a